In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. We have today St. John Chrysostom, one of the towering figures of the Church, doctor of the Church, patron saint of preachers, one of the early Church Fathers. And next to St. Augustine is the most prolific homilist, writer, and biblical exegete. So quite a bit to go through. I have to get cracking because there's a lot here. St. John Chrysostom, born in the year 347 in Antioch, that's Greece. And as a young man, he studied rhetoric, and his teacher, a pagan teacher, said of him, "He would have taken my place had the Christians not stolen him from us." So this is those envy of the pagans, we could say. As a very pious young man, he soon turned his studies from theology to, from rhetoric to theology, and he became convicted of the need to give his life fully to Christ. Thus, at 22 years old, he went into the desert to live as a hermit, very much like St. Paul. St. John Chrysostom would end up this great bishop and preacher, but he started out in the desert. Right, even as St. Paul did, spent 3 years in the Arabian desert. And that's where he lived. This is crazy. He lived the life of those crazy desert hermits, where they would live on pillars out in the wilderness, I mean, in rain and snow. And he took a vow. This is the craziness. He took a vow never to sit or lie down. And so he stood for 3 years. Like, how is that possible? Right, these desert monks would take vows like never to sleep, and so what they would do is they would wedge themselves in between rocks at night and memorize scripture or say prayers, and then kind of pass in and out, and then in the daytime get up and walk around again. So that's what he did. He didn't take a vow never to sleep, but he never sat down. 2 years standing. And he memorized scriptures, and his diet was so poor, and he ate so little food that he permanently damaged his stomach and kidneys. This is why the Church tells us that the penances of the Desert Fathers are more for our admiration than our imitation. Right? We hear about Paul the First Hermit, St. Anthony of the Desert, and we hear their incredible penances. It's incredible because not everybody could do that. Like, that is actually impossible to most people. So St. John Chrysostom found that out. It wasn't his vocation. Sorry, you may have wanted to go out there and live as a crazy, desert hermit, crazy with love of God, but it's not for you, right? There's just vocations are different for different people. It's not for you. So he returned to Antioch, began to study for the priesthood, and he was ordained a deacon in the year 381 by a heretical bishop. This was, I can't remember the bishop's name. It was one of those Christological heresies going on at the time. And he found out there was something wrong. This is problematic. I can't believe this. This bishop is not in union with Rome. And so he went and he left and he was ordained a priest by a different bishop. And he found out that bishop wasn't in union with Rome either. So he's going from one kind of schismatic, heretical group to the next. And it's not defined heresy yet. They're on the wrong side of an argument that is still being worked out. But St. John eventually reconciles both of them to Rome. The city of, I think it was Alexandria and Antioch. There's a couple different cities. The bishops are reconciled with the Bishop of Rome. So great work of his. And in Antioch there, after he was ordained a priest, he was immensely popular because of the eloquence of his public speaking. And Antioch Cathedral was called the Golden Church, and that's where he was given his nickname Chrysostom, which is golden-mouthed, because of his eloquence and rhetorical abilities. Let's see, there's a really interesting thing here. Chrysostom, it was at this point one of the most valuable works of Chrysostom, or his homilies on various books of the Bible. And how many of them are there? I think I have the list here. It's incredible. Like, there's 57 homilies on Genesis, 60 on the Gospel of Matthew, 87 on the Acts of the Apostles, 50 on the Psalms. So he's always reading Scripture and always explaining them, but he explained them. It wasn't like the allegorical, we can gain this spiritual meaning from Scriptures. It was more like, here's what Scripture's telling us. This is how it applies to our daily life. Are we doing it? Very practical, very direct, and people really resonated with that. And furthermore, there was an incident in Antioch which shows the influence of his homilies. There was some civil unrest in which the citizens had were rioting, and they were destroying public statues and monuments to the emperor, pulling them down, defacing them. Now, relevant to today. And so the bishop of the city was intervening on behalf of the people to avoid a too strict reprisal from the emperor. And so during the weeks of Lent in the year 387, John Chrysostom preached more than 20 homilies on the errors of their behavior in this regard, destroying public statues, not even of God or the saints, but of a pagan, is wrong because it's against the public and civic order. You've got to obey the laws of the emperor. You have to respect his image. Even though he's a pagan, even though we don't agree with it, you still respect the country and the laws and the monuments of the place in which you live. St. John Chrysostom lectured the people on that. It's a testament that not only did the faithful, the Catholic faithful, repent of their evil behavior, a whole bunch of pagans converted as well. And so thus, St. John Chrysostom almost pretty much converted the whole city, and the city was spared that reprisal from an angry emperor. So thus we see, right, preachers in the church intervening in current events and giving the public what they need to hear. Pulling down statues and rioting is wrong. You are wrong if you do that. It doesn't matter how unjust the emperor is, how unjust the laws are, how corrupt the system is. That's not how you behave. And any organization that does that, whether in the year 387 or 2020, needs to be told that by the church. BLM and Antifa. Any priest or bishop who supports them is in error. Don't ever listen to any of those priests who say that we should be supporting BLM. Huh. So his fame grew such that St. John Chrysostom was named the Archbishop of Constantinople in the year 397. But he becomes such a public figure in the city of Antioch, he had to sneak out in the middle of the night unless the people were going to riot. Like otherwise it would have been, because they were prone to rioting, obviously. So to avoid that, he just sneaks out. And he went to his new city, Constantinople, right? And it's the seat of imperial power. It's like, I don't know, the New York of Greece, or the Washington, D.C. And everybody loves him, except the wealthy, the influential, and the clergy, right? Because he holds them accountable. He says, you're all a bunch of hypocrites. You know, you preach a poverty and you don't live it. You know, you hold other people to a high standard, but you don't hold yourselves. And so what he did was he held all those other, ecclesiastics and wealthy, influential people, he held them to the high standard they preached, and he held them to his own standard. He was hard on himself, but he was lenient on others below him, the common faithful. And they did not like that very much at all. he did preach, though, because he was hard. He was hard where he needed to be. And he was even hard on the people themselves in the areas that they were failing. And there were four. He preached against, this is luxurious living. That was more to the wealthy and the affluent. He preached against secular amusements, false religions, and against sexual perversion, especially homosexuality. And I'll give a few, this is his, shows his rhetoric. So against luxurious living, he says to those affluent, do you pay such honor to your excrements as to receive them into a silver chamber pot when another man made in the image of God is perishing in the cold? So he was not above getting a little bit down to earth in his rhetorical comments. Secular amusements. If you ask the faithful who is Amos or Obadiah or how many apostles there were or how many prophets, they stand mute. But if you ask them about horses or drivers, they answer with more solemnity than sophists or rhetorics. All right, how about them Broncos? How about Bill Belichick? How about that star quarterback? Same thing. This has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. The Catholic faithful in 387 Constantinople were more interested in sports than they were in the Bible. It's the same. Human nature doesn't change. That's why the church's doctrines don't change. That's why the sermons of St. John Chrysostom still are relevant and applicable today. And so are the principles. So is everything the church has held and taught. The church doesn't need to update doctrine because human nature always needs it. It's the same. False religions. Now, St. John Chrysostom preached very much against the Judaizers and the Jewish religion. And it wasn't so much, again, it wasn't so much the Jews as it was the false religion. Do not be going to these religious practices. There was many Christians, Catholics, attending synagogues because the music was beautiful or the liturgy was amazing or I like this or that. And John Chrysostom is like, no, that's a false religion. Don't go anywhere near that. And he's been called anti-Semitic because of this, but it's just if it was a different religion, he would have attacked that one. It doesn't matter. Any religion other than Catholicism, if you're getting swayed by it, I'm going to attack it. That is an error. And then, of course, homosexuality. He says, all these affections are vile, any sexual perversion, but chiefly the mad lust of male after male. It is an insult to nature itself. And yet a more disgraceful thing is this, when even the women seek after such behavior, who ought to have more of a sense of shame than men. Once again, I've just gone through like four relevant topics from over 1,700 years ago. It's the same. Rather than, saying that, the church was ignorant in the past, the church needs to update, and the St. John Chrysostom was anti-Semitic, and we should be apologizing for his sermons, baloney, we should be putting his sermons on YouTube, right? That's how the church modernizes. That's what we do in the modern age. You take the works of the past that are true, that people need to hear, and you broadcast them. Right, that's what we do. That's how the church changes and adapts to the changing times. We've got an even better way of preaching the truth than before. Let's take advantage of it. He also wrote, 67 homilies on Genesis, 59 on the Psalms, 90 on the Gospel of Matthew, 88 on the Gospel of John, 55 on the Acts of the Apostles. I missed a few. He also wrote, against those who oppose the monastic life. This is a treatise. He wrote to parents who wanted to send their children to be educated by monks but wouldn't let them become one. He wrote a work on the priesthood. He wrote a work on the incomprehensibility of the divine nature, and so on. John Chrysostom eventually, he delivered a homily on modesty that the empress thought was directed at her personally, and so that was the last straw. She had him accused of heresy. She held some kind of council, got some other ecclesiastics and bishops who were chafing, right, under the burden of accountability. And they declared him a heretic or guilty of heresy, and he was arrested and sent into exile, or they pronounced on him the sentence of exile. But the night he was arrested, there was an earthquake. And the empress herself was very shaken by that, literally and figuratively. Plus, the people found out about it and threatened to riot and burn down the palace. So I guess it was a theme in those days, there's rioting. So the emperor stopped it. Okay, we're not going to do this. But for the next 2 years, John Chrysostom didn't slow down. He was arrested. He was threatened with exile. Didn't flinch. Didn't intimidate him. He kept preaching the truth. It was just too much for the empress. She did exile him. He went into exile, he wrote to Rome, he kept writing letters to the city, the citizens, there wasn't another earthquake, but the citizens did riot, and they burned down, I think it was the cathedral church, I don't know how that happened, but they burned down the cathedral church. But 100 years later, I think Justinian built the Hagia Sophia, which was one of the most magnificent churches in the world. It was the largest church for 1,000 years in Christendom. It's currently infested with Muslims, so we need to pray for that, their conversion. St. John Chrysostom stayed in exile the rest of his life. He died in exile. That's one of the reasons for the that gospel reading today, or the epistle. Preach the gospel in season and out of season. When it's favorable, when it's unfavorable, preach the truth. That was the example of St. John Chrysostom. And as we've seen, so much relevance to what is going on today in this world that we ought to take heart, right? It's happened before. Rioting, burning down, pulling down statues, heresy everywhere, good bishops getting silenced. What else is new? Huh? We went through this 1,600 years ago over and over and over and over again. What should we think? We should think, I need to fulfill my vocation, even if I don't know what that is. St. John Chrysostom, was this great bishop, a great preacher. oh, I wish I could do something because that's not me. Well, St. John Chrysostom wished he could be a desert hermit, but it wasn't him. He couldn't do it. Even he couldn't do what he wanted to do. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we are doing, what we think we're supposed to be doing. What God has a plan. If we just do what is right in front of us, like I keep saying over and over and over again, our daily prayers, be kind in speech, be mild, be merciful, forgive easily, don't hang on to grudges, be disciplined, be mature, grow up, put aside childish things, you're going to find your vocation, right? You may have to wander through the desert for a few years, but you're going to find it. And that is a great piece. And we can know that will be helping those people who are great preachers. Yeah, it wasn't John Chrysostom by himself who converted these cities. How many thousands and thousands and thousands of the faithful were praying for him? Priests were offering mass. Desert hermits were praying for him, offering sacrifices. It all takes everybody together, right? Nobody does this on his own or her own. So, if you're very, very good at prayer, you're like this mystic, don't get proud, but realize you got to give that grace to somebody else who's going to go out there and preach, right? If you're great or small, whatever it is, we all have to do our part. But we don't complain, don't lose faith, keep your courage. This has happened before. We will come through it. St. John Chrysostom, all holy hermits, preachers, pray for us. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.